gospel reading today is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servants in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And the child's mother and father were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the end of the reading. It's the second Sunday of Advent. The nave is beautifully decorated, and we are in preparation for the Lord. Advent is a time of special blessing. If you notice throughout the readings today, we've had blessing, 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 blessing. When people sneeze, what do we respond? God bless you, or bless you. And one of our national songs is God Bless America. We close religious services with a benediction, which is a blessing, where we ask for God's blessing upon us. Often people pray before meals, and what the prayer is often called is a blessing. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the Torah, God is recorded as blessing humans. In Genesis chapter 1, it is written, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them. Later in the same book of Genesis, God spoke to Abraham, and this is what he said. And this is in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we have the blessing of creation, the blessing of Abraham. We often hear of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What happened to Jacob? Did he receive a blessing? And what kind of blessing did he receive? Again, we turn to Genesis, and in chapter 32, find this passage. And God said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince you have power with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, why is it that you do ask my name? And he blessed him there. Remembering that Jacob was also called Israel, in Psalm 115, the psalmist reminds us, as people have been reminded for centuries, O Israel, trust in the Lord. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. The Lord will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. In the same psalm, we have this astonishing directive. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We move on to the New Testament, and in Luke's Gospel, we are told that Jesus, after his birth, was offered in the temple. That was the first reading today. And Mary was purified as required under Jewish law, and we learn that a man named Simeon was just and devout, and he had the Holy Spirit upon him as directed by the Spirit. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. Imagine the look perhaps of surprise on Mary and Joseph. Simeon blessed God, and then Simeon said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." But that wasn't the only blessing. For Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them. That blessing is especially poignant, of course, because this is Advent season. And we have many, many more biblical blessings. If you use a concordance and use the word blessed or blessing or blessed, there's hundreds upon hundreds of notations in the Old and New Testament. The Bible, in short, is full of blessings. And then Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, preached the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes were, "Blessed are the poor, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted." So what are we talking about? Blessing. And when we get to the last chapter of Luke, when we get to the ascension of Jesus, this is what Luke records. "And Jesus led the disciples out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." So now we've had a brief tour of the Bible. We come to today's sermon, finally. Blessing, a verb. Not blessing, a noun. Blessing, a verb. So what is a blessing? We've heard that God blesses. Psalmist and Simeon bless God. Simeon blesses Mary. Simeon blesses Joseph and blesses the infant Jesus. Jesus tells us that certain ways of living are blessed ways of living. As Jesus ascends, he blesses his disciples and his other followers. After the ascension of Jesus, the disciples go to God's house and bless God. We respond to sneezes with blessings. One of our national songs is about blessing. We ask God to bless our food. We ask God to bless ourselves. We ask God to bless neighbor. So what is blessing? It means many things. Holy, sanctified, full of grace, a celebration of God, a wish of good and good fortune, and a fear of God, which is a respect for the standards set by God, and a feeling of humility as to who we are, and then lastly in the Beatitudes as a sense of happiness. In the Bible we learn that blessings come from God, but also come from people. So we can turn to somebody and say, "Bless you." We don't have to say, "God bless you," which is the normal way we do things. But understand, God blesses us, and we can bless God in return if we choose. The psalmist told us how and what to say to bless God and how we can bless each other. So if blessings are good, why don't we bless each other? We eat meals at least three times a day, and some of us even more. And those are the occasions of blessings. We enjoy the company of people, and do we feel that those are times of blessings? And maybe if we understand blessing as a verb, we can look at the word blessing, but also look at the word curse, because that's in the Bible also. Let's go back to Genesis. After Adam and Eve ate of the tree, in other words, they disobeyed God, but they wanted to know more than God wanted them to know. They wanted to understand more than God wanted them to understand as children of God. And Genesis is recorded. "And to Adam God said, 'Because you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake.'" And Jesus himself did not bless everything. Matthew's Gospel records a somewhat strange incident about a fig tree. And when Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you henceforth forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. That's in Matthew in chapter 21. And yet Jesus, understanding curses, says this in Luke chapter 6. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which spitefully use you." A curse is a wish of harm, a wish of abuse, and at the very least, the statement of disrespect. Cursing ties into the commandment not to use God's name in vain. So on one hand, we have blessings, and on the other hand, curses. And in between, perhaps we have apathy. We neither wish well, nor do we wish evil. We just don't care. And in not caring, we can be selfish, or maybe just too lazy to respect or disrespect God's world. But if we pray for God's blessing to come upon us, we expect the best from God. And therefore, if we decide that we do want to bless God, as the psalmist often blesses God, then what we're doing is we're giving our best to God. We ask a question, why don't we bless our children more often if we do bless our children? For if we decide we want to bless our children, what we're doing is we're saying we want our very best to come to our children, both from God, may God bless you, and from ourselves, I am blessing you. If we ask for God's blessing through our pastor when we leave worship liturgies, we are asking God to bless us, and we expect that blessing to be a holy blessing. There's also a question of perhaps timing or perhaps audibility. Should we tell our children that we're blessing them? It's a good idea, but probably shock our children if we did that. And many times, perhaps, it is good to do so at a meal prayer, because then we can mix a blessing into something that is customary. So, blessings are not part of our American culture. You can see that it was part of the Old Testament culture and part of the early New Testament culture. And we've seen that blessings can permeate from in the Bible. But blessings are not part of our American culture. Yet when we marry, what are we asking for? In a church, we're asking for God's blessing on the marital union. Question for married people, do we continually ask God to bless our union? Do we do so every day, every week, once a year at the anniversary? But is there a request to God to continually bless the union? Do we turn to our spouses and tell them that we bless them and they were asking blessing upon the marriage? And perhaps don't shock them right away. Maybe the first blessing should be silent. And yet the best of blessings are audible, for it is not only in the heart of the person offering the blessing, but it is also resting. The blessing comes to rest in the heart of the person receiving the blessing and the person accepting the blessing. And maybe our children and our spouses and people around us need to sneeze more often. The questions I ask are these. Can blessing another person solve some of the problems in life? Can blessing another person help their self-esteem? Can blessing another person help those who in their heart feel that others just pretend to like them? Can blessing another person in an abusive relationship help their esteem so much that they work out of their inertia and fear and begin to live as individual people? Can a blessing help family members who feel that those closest to them are not close to them? Simply stated, do we need to audibly give blessings and audibly receive blessings? So many people in this world feel cursed. And so many people in this world feel that they're just apathetic objects. So even if an audible blessing cannot be uttered by us, perhaps a silent blessing, the aura of giving a blessing, is enough. Perhaps a touch is enough, a touch given with a silent blessing. But an audible blessing can perhaps even work a miracle. So, in God's holy name, bless each other. As Simeon did, bless with the Holy Spirit. A blessing out loud can help people realize that God is in this world. It can help them realize that they are children of God. But even a blessing made silently or a touch or even a blessing disguised as words of encouragement and hope are enough, because blessings can be done in many ways. As believers in God, we can see in Scripture that we have a tradition of blessing. And as followers of Christ, we realize that we have the power of blessing. And we know that with Jesus and through Jesus and in Jesus, we can make a blessed difference in the lives of other people, because we know that through Jesus, He has made a blessed difference in our own lives. Let's not forget the words then of the psalmist in Psalm 103 as one of the many psalms, when the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The ascension of Jesus is again an interesting passage because it just talks and is just replete of the word blessing. Again, "Then Jesus led his disciples out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God." So on the second week of Advent, when we are in the Christmas, pre-Christmas season, and doing shopping and running into so many people and going into parties and mixing, say a silent blessing, say an audible blessing, pretend you heard somebody sneeze and say, "God bless you, I thought I heard you sneeze." Turn to your spouse, perhaps silently at first with a touch, and maybe work into it. Bless at a meal. And if you're not used to blessing it at a meal, it's very simple. God bless us and God bless this food.